Jesus' name, dear brethren. Set your minds on things above is something you might hear at Cape Kennedy. But what did Paul mean by saying this? Paul here was attacking a form of heresy, a heresy that was flourishing in the little town of Colossae in Asia Minor. Today we might call it fatalism. But in Colossae, many of the inhabitants, even some Christians apparently, had come to believe that the world was controlled by a series of great powers, which Paul called elemental spirits. God had originally created the world, of course, but the powers had somehow come to dominate it. God was far, far away. In between stood these series of powers. They did what they pleased with you, and if you wanted to understand them, become attuned to them, you had to control your bodily appetites very rigidly. You had to practice religious rituals which might lead you into visions and ecstasies. And if you were successful, you might just possibly discover the secrets of the spirits and harness your powers with theirs. In any case, the powers had you. The best you could do was to comprehend them and draw upon them. It would be very hard to find a religion exactly like this one today in our world. But people now are nonetheless fatalistic. The forces of the universe have replaced the elemental spirits in their thinking. Many feel themselves as trapped by the blind laws of nature as people once felt trapped by spirits. C.S. Lewis himself thought this way once when he was an atheist. He wrote, "All stories will come to nothing. All life will turn out in the end to have been a transitory and senseless contortion upon this idiotic face of infinite matter." That's a very familiar and very powerful idea today. You don't have to look very far to bump into it. And this is the kind of thinking Paul would describe as earthly. Here he was thinking of earthbound thinking. So when he commands, "Set your minds on things that are above," he is commanding us to fasten our minds on lofty things, on Jesus Christ himself. Oh, but this is easier said than done, because no matter what our vertical ambitions, we are still a lateral people. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. And oh, how well our Luther funeral hymn expressed that. And St. Paul admits this in the verses that follow. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness." And then he commands to put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk. But who of us is not earthly? Who doesn't lust? Who doesn't covet? Who doesn't slander? Who doesn't get angry? Who doesn't talk foully? It's quite a picture of the reality of man. So how does one set his mind apart from these things, these realities, on things above? Paul has the answer. Says, "For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You have died, he says. At first glance, this seems an unusual way of putting it. Sounds almost fatalistic, doesn't it? But Paul is thinking of something quite different. Can you guess what? Guessed right? Baptism. He says elsewhere, we are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism is a form of burial. Through it, our life is hid with Christ. What is offered in baptism? The power to die. What must die? All of that earthly thrust of our nature that we spoke of a moment ago. Immorality, evil desire, covetousness, anger, malice, foul talk. Through God's power in Jesus Christ, his word, his sacraments, a man may begin to leave these things behind, setting his mind on things above. There's a postscript to all of this, a Thanksgiving postscript, for all of the power, the benefits of holy baptism. The benefits our Lord himself procured for us on Calvary's cross. St. Paul explains how this thanksgiving takes place in verses 12 to 14. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. He exhorts us to bear with one another and to secure our human fellowship in harmony. Even that's not so easy in this turbulent world. So often we're inclined to anger, bitterness over the world's failure in faith, its pessimism, its fatalism. But that's all the more reason to seek the things that are above. And in a world that looks to the heavens and sees, as C.S. Lewis described it, a transitory and senseless contortion upon the idiotic face of infinite matter, and to human life, and sees a story which will come to nothing, the Christian faith is a special miracle, a special gift. So the message this morning, set your minds on things on high. Take heart in Jesus Christ. The benefits of his salvation procured on the cross, given to us in holy baptism, continuing in his word and sacraments, for which we thank him in a life of service to our fellow men. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.